It's time again for 3-Point Podcast. Three sports guys, three generations, and three hot takes. The triple threat includes baby boomer Ted Patel of Z92.5 The Castle. Our Gen Xer is Matt Burns of ESPN and the SEC Network out of Charlotte, North Carolina. The millennial man is Jared Patel of Bally Sports Detroit. Comments and questions can be sent by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Follow 3-Point Podcast on social media at 3-Point Pod. The fellows will get it rolling right after this from our partners.
Check out the Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center in the Now building on the campus of Memorial Healthcare. Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center includes locker rooms, private showers, steam rooms, a sauna, a lap pool, and more, including a raised track for walking and running with views of the entire Memorial campus and surrounding area. Personally, I love it, man. Sunday, Saturday morning, get in there, get a good workout in, hit the sauna up, and I also do the steam room, so it's a perfect spot. I mean, I think it's only $12 for a day pass, but for those of you who are looking to join for a winter membership, it's up to 15% off for your membership when it's paid in full. Memorial Healthcare strives to bring healthcare and wellness together, servicing patient needs from diagnosis to treatment to rehab and beyond. For more details, go online at www.memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE. That's 989-720-2273.
Rivals Tap House and Grill is the area's go-to spot for the best in food and drink. Meet up with your friends and catch your favorite sporting events on over 20 high-def flat-screen TVs.
And our 120-inch projection screen.
Rivals can handle your large or small parties and is an awesome spot to put on your fundraising events. Weekly food and drink specials including gourmet burgers, wings, pizza, homemade soup, and salads. Rivals also stocks a large selection of craft and domestic brews. Rivals Tap House and Grill, the official gathering spot of 3-Point Podcast, located on the corner of Shiawassee and M21 in Corunna.
It's time for episode 310 of the 3-Point Podcast, presented by the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center. I am Ted from Z92.5 Radio. We got Matt from ESPN, and we have Mr. Irrelevant Jared with us here tonight too. He'll talk about that a little bit here as we go along. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. Check out memorialhealthcare.org for details on and everything they offer, including swimming lessons, and they have a brand new thing, Water in Motion. Join Robin as she debuts a new premium aquatics offering for the Wellness Center. It's Tuesdays and Fridays, 6:30 to 7:15 a.m.
I'll say this real quick about that. I don't know if we've talked about it. Water aerobics is a really, really great workout. Yes. I know maybe it has the more... I don't know. People think it's more for older people, I guess. But when my wife was pregnant with Claire, our first child, we went to water aerobics because I said it was good for pregnancies and stuff. And we were definitely the youngest people there. But when we got out of it, we were like, that is actually a really, really good workout. So,
yeah.
Ted, I don't know if you've ever thought about going, but Jared, you too.
Easy on the joints, man.
Yeah, I have definitely thought of it. And I do look at it as more in my generation. But, hey, you're attesting to the fact that it's not necessarily. So it's a great thing they offer, and I definitely highly recommend you get a hold of Memorial. I want to thank our other great partners. They include AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook & Associates, Real Estate Services, Nelson House Funeral Homes, Rivals Tap House & Grill, and Success Group Mortgage & Servicing. Well, let's get caught up a little bit, fellas. It's a little behind the times, but Jared, you had a trip to D.C. We never did talk about your trip covering the Pistons and seeing D.C. up close and personal.
Yeah, I think I've been holding on to this thought, this one specific thought for a few weeks now. I think I feel how you feel when we ax your Tedertainment Tonight segments and you have to keep backlogging them. But yeah, real quick, one comment, as I was re-listening to last week's pod, something that kind of flew over my head, I didn't even realize it in the time, but I did my whole catch-up segment last week, and then I think it was you, Ted, that had some comment like, man, that was quite the story. it was like the most sarcastic, like, that story sucked, like, I've ever heard in my life. So I just gotta say this, hey, these are not all home runs, these are real-life stories, they are what they are, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're in between. So this is more of a take, but I'll start with a story.
I'll say this, though, real quick. Biggest fan of the show, Craig, he always tweets. He says that he loves Jared's ketchup. So
Jared's
his
favorite.
He's a good gauge on what's good. So I also noticed that as well. I just thought it was a funny one-liner comment that I didn't quite pick up on in real time. But yeah, I saw that as well. Those were very kind words from Craig. Very much appreciated. I'll start out here. So I went to DC on a trip. This was, I think, end of March now. but I've had this thought in my head for a while now. So as I'm walking down DC, I'm loving it. You know, we stayed in Georgetown. I love that area. That was probably my favorite, to be honest.
Can't beat
all the old time buildings. We walk all through DC. We see all the monuments, all the things. Last but not least, the White House. So as we're walking around, we're walking down. I don't even know, Ted, you might know what the main road is actually called that the White House is on. But we're walking. It's kind of like a cobblestone or brick street. I'm like walking down, head down. Next thing I know, the person I'm there with goes, "Hey, that's the White House." I literally looked at it and went, "Ha, nice joke, man. That's funny. Where is it actually? Like, are we almost there?" No, that's the White House. So as I thought about it, I mean, flat out, you see more impressive buildings out on your lake, Ted, Lake Manitou. You really do. Are we, as the United States of America, serious about this building? I understand there was a fire that, you know, maybe burned it, 1812, and it has all this history to it, but it's kind of a POS is really what my reaction was to seeing the White House. It looks like nothing. It's smaller than you imagine. The yard really wasn't quite as majestic as I thought. I thought I was going to have like almost like a Masters type feeling, like, wow, everything's perfectly trimmed. It's like you can't see in. How could you? Like, we might get flagged for this. My first thought was, how easy would it be to storm this building? Was honestly my first thought as I saw it. But basically where I'm at is it's time to scrap this building. I just saw in 2007, it was ranked second on the American Institute of Architects list for America's favorite architecture. There is nothing cool about the architecture. I'm sorry. It's a dud. It's a dud. I get the history, but wasn't the White House initially built to be an intimidator to other foreign leaders? Like, that was part of why we built it. We try to make it so grand. It's not grand. There's nothing grand about it. Looks like your typical house. What am I missing on this? It's a joke.
Very. You're saying the courthouse in Corona, Michigan is more impressive than...
Honest to God, I think the architecture is more beautiful on that building than it is on the actual White House.
It kind of is.
And that's not a shot, because the Corona courthouse is a very cool building. So that's not a shot. But so you probably only saw it from the one angle.
That's right.
Which you can see from the road. That is probably the most bland angle of the White House. The other side, I mean, everyone has seen pictures. You've seen pictures of it. The side that you can see from, you know, the black fence, I assume it's still a big old black fence. You know, you just see the yard a little bit. It is pretty underwhelming at first because you think White House, then you see it and it is a little bit like, oh, okay. But think about like the history of that building and then everything inside of it. I mean, I've never been able to go inside of it. I think it would be really cool to do a tour inside the White House, but obviously they don't take you everywhere that's inside that place, but everything that's underneath, all the bunkers and like everything like that, I think you're selling it short quite a bit. Now, right, is it the Taj Mahal? Is it some incredible structure building? No, but it serves the purpose for what it's supposed to be, I think.
It's where the president and his family live. Did you walk all the way around it, or did you just see one view of it, like Matt said? Because what you see on TV and the picture postcards, and it's the back of the White House,
right,
is what actually is the view. The front of the White House is, you know, it's just a driveway going up to where they enter into it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's, I didn't see the back, which problem number one in architecture, the back is the more beautiful side. And nobody sees the back. What? I love the Chris Nolan trilogy of Batman movies. There's a great line at the end of the first movie, Batman Begins, like his whole mansion got lit on fire by Ra's al Ghul, and Rachel has like a line like, what are you gonna do now, like, you don't have anywhere to live. He's like, I'm gonna rebuild it exactly the way it was, like brick by brick. This building needs to be taken apart brick by brick. I get the history and I get what you're saying, like, Ted, it's where our most important family in the country lives. Shouldn't it be like a magnificent, like Taj Mahal type building? Let's add on to it. I know they've added on to it in the past, like the yard. I imagine, like, man, a backyard two-hand touch football game. Where would you rather do it than the White House? I don't even know if there was enough space for that.
Holy cow. This might be the hottest take you have ever had, Jared. I'm not kidding you. I mean, you're underwhelmed. I get that. But man, that is a hot take.
Okay, now you're talking out both sides of your mouth. Did you or did you not just say the Corona? The courthouse was more beautiful than the White House.
I do say that the architecture of the courthouse and many other buildings are definitely more appealing to the eye than the White House. But the White House is iconic. I mean, you know, if you see a picture of it, no matter where you're at in the world, it's the White House. You know what it is. I mean, did you get a chance to go up to the Capitol? If you want to look at different architecture in D.C., the Capitol's a beautiful building.
It'd be like some random building in D.C. I'm like, wow, this is gorgeous.
Right.
You go to the White House, it's just like a big white building, which I guess given the name makes sense. But
yeah.
Right.
I don't know. It left a lot to be desired, man. The fact that I didn't realize what it was, and that's I've seen the picture of a White House a million times, I didn't even understand that that was it.
Right.
It's like, pretty underwhelming. I mean, you can't fake your first reaction to something like that. Now, yeah. I will say, on the other hand, real quick to maybe wrap up the DC trip, we got a lot to talk about NFL draft in Detroit. The Lincoln Memorial, on the other hand, now that was done right. Mm-hmm. Every little detail of that place, wow, it's magnificent. That's probably the best statue I've ever seen. That I will give 10 out of 10 stars to. Now, the White House, on the other hand, needs a little improvement.
Okay.
Did you see the MLK Memorial?
Which one is that, to be honest?
I mean, well, it's him. It's a huge statue of him.
Yeah.
I don't think I did.
It's on the other side of the road from the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah. That's a very cool one too. The Lincoln Memorial. I mean, yeah, that's probably the best one in all of DC.
I tell you what, that was the one thing I did not see. That is an awesome statue or memorial as well.
Yeah.
I never saw that one. That was probably the one thing I missed was the MLK one.
Of course, from my era, Vietnam, the Vietnam Memorial really gets you. It's pretty simple, but with all the names on the wall and the way they have it going up and then coming back down on the other side, that definitely is one that makes you stop and think for sure. The World War II memorials there with the soldiers fighting out in the field, that's a neat one. I mean, did you get a chance to walk that whole area, Jared?
Yeah, it's an awesome town. I mean, I know really the famous thing, they can't build anything taller than the
Washington Monument. Yep.
I mean, it really does. It's almost, I feel like such a loser for saying this, but it is like a Owosso. It's like as if Owosso was the most important city in the world. Owosso is a really neat town with the historic buildings. It's a lot of buildings like that. It's like Kerwood Castles everywhere you look, and bars that are built in the 1800s. It was awesome. I really was blown away with DC. Really cool city.
It is cool. And we've talked about my family, my wife and I going up there because she's been there, but it was a really, really long time ago. So she, she wants to get back, and obviously we want to take the kids at some point. And I just remember I have friends that live there now and friends who have lived there since college. So I used to go visit when I was living in Connecticut, and it's one of those, like, you're at an age, Jared, where you can actually walk around and appreciate it. I remember we went in high school as a family, and I was looking at stuff, and I thought it was cool, but you're not like soaking it all in much. You're just kind of like, yeah, I'm here with my family. When I went back later and really, like you said, Ted, thought about what the memorials meant,
right?
What happened at those memorials, like the Lincoln Memorial, speaking of MLK, and standing on those steps, looking out over
the basin.
The stuff that went on there and all that is, I don't know, it's pretty powerful or whatever to walk around and do it. So
yeah,
it's worth the trip. It's always one of those that it's like, if you've never been, even if you have, I know, Ted, you've been a lot now at this point, but
right,
you can always do something and have a good time walking around DC.
Well, the thing that a lot of people don't realize too, if you want to go to the top museums in the world, the Smithsonian's, they're all free. Zoo, world-class zoo, it's free. There's so much to see there that you don't have to spend a lot of money other than maybe parking, but that's a whole nother topic. But I have been lucky because, my daughter Amy and her family live in Arlington, and her condo, it's 17 floors up in Arlington, and you can look right across the river, and it looks right at the Lincoln Memorial. You can see the Capitol in the background. You can see the Jefferson Memorial. It's just an awesome place to live. Now, we're hoping they move back this way, but that's another right. topic for another time too. But while they're there, we are making the most of it. I do want to tie one thing in here, guys, that kind of ties into DC. How big of a Howard Stern fan I am. And to tell you the truth, I've been listening to a lot more podcasts lately than Howard Stern, but it just caught me. I saw it on Twitter that he did an actual sit-down interview with the president of the United States, Joe Biden. And I thought, well, I got to check this out. I thought maybe it was some kind of imitator or something. No, for crying out loud, Howard Stern booked Joe Biden for an interview. And no matter what your preference is, you know, politically, I thought it was unbelievable that he got the president of the United States on his Sirius XM radio show. And then Biden just answered all his questions. I mean, Howard said he was nervous as hell, but that's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Did he ask hard-hitting questions? Yeah, or was it the kind of a puff piece?
When you talk about the biggest get that you can get, I mean,
right, that's pretty big.
It's pretty big. Unless you're Jared, who's underwhelmed by the White House. That was going to be my question. Same as Jared. Was it just a bunch of fluff softballs, or did he get into some political questions?
It was mostly softballs. I mean,
so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
Isn't that what Stern, I don't know Stern that well, but isn't that what stood out about Stern was he never was afraid to ask those questions? Does that change? Like, I guess, what does that mean to you? I mean, isn't that what always made him so good?
You know, it's funny when I think back on it, because that is what he made his reputation on. He was the shock jock, right? I mean, outrageous lesbians in the studio, strippers, porn stars. I mean, you name it, he had it. And I look back at it, you know, here I am pushing 68. He's a little bit older than I am. And you evolve. You just evolve. His show has gone from being this shock thing to really, he's become one of the top interviewers out there. I mean, he gets the big guest. I mean, like, how can you get any bigger than the president of the United States while he's sitting in office? And, you know, there was a couple tough questions, and he got into some stuff about strategy with Trump. But if you look at the whole Joe Biden story, think about what this guy's been through. I mean, his whole family, other than him, was in a car accident. It killed his first wife, his 18-month-old daughter. His two sons were severely injured in that. And he bounced back from that. And then the one son dies because of exposure to chemicals in the armed forces, you know, his oldest son. So, and then he's going through all the stuff right now. I mean, no, like I said, no matter where you're at politically, as far as living a life and dealing with what your life deals to you,
right,
can't do much more than what he's lived up to, you know?
For sure. That would definitely be an interview. Like you said, no matter what side of the aisle you fall on, it'd be worth a listen to. I've never been a huge Stern fan. We've talked about Stern, but whenever I do come across clips, or like if he's interviewing someone I really like, so I listen to it or I watch it, he gets a lot out of people. It's entertaining, but sometimes, you know, it gets a little personal and stuff. Yep. And one of the recent ones, it's not new, but I saw an interview. He had Adam Sandler. And you guys know I like Sandler a lot, but it's just cool to hear. They get into like the backstories, and
that's what I like.
How you got to start with your career and some of the behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, they really, he gets them to open up in that sense. So I'd be curious to listen to that one with the Prez.
If you get a chance, I'd say listen to it.
Last thing I'll add to that, it's like exactly what you said, Matt. He gets stuff out of people that nobody else does. Like, I don't really watch this stuff either, but I somehow stumbled across his like interview with like Dave Matthews way back, probably 3-4 years ago, and he got Dave Matthews to play like Crash Into Me live, which I think he hardly almost never plays anymore. Yeah. Some Dave Matthews band fan is probably saying, "Oh, well, he played it here." I don't know. Seems like he almost never really plays it anymore. And he got him to play that song. And it's a great live, like in studio performance that I appreciate on YouTube. So Howard Stern, I didn't know he had that whole crazy wild story, to be honest. Prostitutes and strippers. I don't know. Might have to dig into the archives on that.
Oh, just watch the movie Private Parts. It pretty much lays it all out.
It's with Jenna Jameson.
Yep. Oh yeah.
What's that? Is that a documentary about the Howard
Stern? No, it's a movie.
It's a movie, but it basically is a, what do you call it? Movie that's a biography about Howard Stern. He plays his biopic. Yeah, he plays himself, but it gives you the whole backstory all the way up to, I think, you know, the early 90s or something. Yeah, it was good. Right. It was really good. Private Parts. Should have saved that for Tedertainment tonight.
Save that for Tedertainment.
Yeah. Hey, a full circle here on this segment, just before we move on to the good stuff. How was your experience flying the Pistons jet home? Didn't you fly home with them?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. You skip the whole line. You are like, it's like a perfect first class experience. It's so like perfectly executed how they do things. You get off the plane, somebody unloads all the bags, they wheel them around, you wait in your car until your bags are ready, they start unloading them quickly, you're in and out. It's seamless. It really is. I mean, it was a late night when we flew back, so it's like basically everybody's just sleeping and chilling.
Right.
So it wasn't, you know, underwhelming and maybe isn't the right word, but it's just a perfectly executed flight. I would describe it, really.
Yeah, I'm envisioning like it's all first class seats for the players, right? And yeah. Did you guys, the media, have to sit kind of in the back part?
Yeah,
of the
like you have assigned seats, like everybody's assigned. So it's very, very buttoned up. It's pretty unbelievable how like I said, that's just the perfect way to describe it. It's a perfect flight experience. And for somebody who hates airports, everybody does really, and deals with some shitty, you know, airport stories from time to time, this was a nice breath of fresh air for sure.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad you got to experience it. I'm sure you'll experience it more. And we look forward to more stories of wherever your journeys take you to other places. You can check their architecture.
Oh, yeah. Cleveland. I've been to Cleveland. Cleveland I liked, by the way. Cleveland gets a bad rap. To be honest, I was really impressed with Cleveland. They have a nice little downtown area.
They do.
That is great. Like, it's almost kind of what's missing from Detroit. Nice, like, probably, you know, block of 10 bars with light string lights over top within a walking distance, you know, maybe less than half a mile away from all the stadiums. I was really impressed with that Main Street.
Yeah, it's really cool. It is.
It's kind of the same as downtown Detroit gets a bad rap. Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about how maybe that's changed a little bit because of the NFL draft. But yeah, same with Cleveland.
Yep.
I've been to a number of Indians games, or, you know, now the Guardians,
right,
and a couple Cavs games even when they were playing the Pistons. And I remember it was when I was in college, and we'd go down there and be like, this is actually really fun. There's bars everywhere, like you said, and you can walk everywhere, you know? So, yeah.
I was really impressed with it, man. I don't know. I didn't get a great look at Cleveland, but the few streets and main roads I went down, it's like, this is actually kind of awesome.
Yeah, Cleveland is a nice little city. It definitely is. All right, well, they have a football team in the NFL, and we're going to talk a little NFL football right after this.
It's much more than a gym. It's the Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center. Stocked with a wide array of state-of-the-art cardio and strength equipment, the Wellness Center also offers a variety of fitness classes. Run, jog, or get your steps in on the raised sky track with views of the entire Memorial campus. As part of your membership, enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with private showers. Also included is use of the steam rooms, saunas, and therapy pool. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
Nelson House Funeral Home's number one goal is to serve the families in our area. The Nelson House staff are proud to serve our local community with reliability, integrity, and compassion. Unique service representing unique lives, ensuring your loved ones receive the honor and celebration they deserve. Founded in 1880 and continuing the tradition today with chapels in Owosso, Chesaning, and New Lothrop. For more details, find them at nelson-house.com or call 989-723-5234.
Success Group Mortgage and Servicing is Shiawassee County's only licensed mortgage broker, lender, and servicer. That means you get exclusive products not found anywhere else. If you are looking to purchase a home or refinance a home in Florida, Hawaii, or Michigan, stop what you're doing and give Success Group Mortgage and Servicing a call. 989-720-4380. That's 989-720-4380.
All right, guys. Again, Jared kind of can lead this off because he actually attended the draft in Detroit. Over 700,000 fans attended the NFL draft. It's become almost bigger than the Super Bowl. I mean, I can only imagine what it was like there in person. Why don't you fill us in a little bit?
Asterix, honest to God, I left right before the first pick was made, like an hour, probably hour and a half before it happened. I couldn't last all day, man. I couldn't do it. But it was surreal. I got the experience. It was like, I've never been to Times Square. I imagine it's what like Times Square feels like. People everywhere. It was the ultimate. I know you love doing this, Ted. Everybody does, yeah. Matt. You too. People watching. It was the best people watching you will ever do. Everybody's got their face painted. Everybody's got the fake shoulder pads with spikes. Everybody's got the painted hair with the mohawk. And everybody was in a great mood. Think about this whole weekend. There was no negative stories. We were kind of somewhat worried about that. Like, no violence, no crime. I don't know. Maybe I'm not scouring the internet as well as others. I have seen no negative stories come out from the entire weekend in Detroit. It was awesome. I mean, and if they didn't close the door, the gates, I mean, they probably could have got close to 1 million people in after all 3 days. It was a chaotic circus in all the best ways. I just don't do great with crowds. It's tough. I don't know. I'm a little bit of a weirdo in that sense where the Times Square, like we were walking all around, went to the fan experience, which was awesome. I mean, they have the Super Bowl rings, pictures with Heisman trophies, all the different players, like game worn uniforms and lockers, you know, all the different type of, you know, 40 yard dash, vertical jump, people just getting a kick out of it. It was crazy to see all the people in Hart Plaza doing that. But it was just incredible. The draft is such a like TV event, in my opinion. And I mean, kudos to ESPN, kudos to the NFL. We know they always do it right. How cool was it seeing all the different drone shots that they did to capture that experience? My favorite part of the draft, man, is like how they do it. It's like every time a player is picked, they put a graphic up on the side of like the Rensen or any other building like in Detroit. Or when a pick was in, it felt like they showed the same like kind of bay shot over the water. Like the way they use the scenics on that telecast in their graphic package, it was awesome. But overall, what a great just time for the city of Detroit. And how about that? City of Detroit coming out on top. Feels like we don't get to say that very often, but I think a lot of people saw how awesome, more so than necessarily the city, just how awesome the people are here and how we treated everybody like it was, you know, like they're our friend. That's what it really was like.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, it shattered. You said it, Ted, over 700,000 shattered the records for her attendance for an NFL draft. I mean, by far, like three times the next closest city as far as attendance for an NFL draft weekend. So that's impressive. And, you know, obviously a big part was the weather. The weather was great all weekend because if we would have got that mid-April out of nowhere snowstorm sleet, you know, one of those kind of Michigan weekends, that would have changed everything. Perfect weather weekend. The Tigers were home. I saw people saying like they would have never gone to a home Tigers game if they didn't happen to be there for the draft. Then it was like, yeah, cool. Let's go catch the Tigers too. You know, that kind of tied it all together. Obviously the Lions coming off of best season probably ever in franchise history, that helps the excitement. We're not the number one pick hoping for our next quarterback that's going to go down the tube or something. So yeah, everything that just came together with it. You mentioned the drone shots. One of my buddies that I used to work with up in Bristol, he's still up there. He's like the head person of the drone group at ESPN. And it's crazy what that's become. I mean, you know, Jared, how many of you, the scenics and stuff that you guys
did such a good job.
Yeah. The drone thing. And I messaged him actually a couple of days ago and I said the same thing. I was like, dude, your guys' drone shots at the draft were insane. And he said they went like 3 weeks earlier and they were there for like 2 weeks shooting all those drone shots and getting everything. The amount of work that goes into the draft is really, it's probably the most impressive thing that whether it's the NFL Network or ESPN that they do. Because like you said, there's 257 picks, but there's another 200 players that they have to be prepared for in case they get picked. They have to have telestration packages, all the graphics, like you said, all the statistics, you know, just all the video, just in case that kid gets picked. And they're able to do it.
Seamless.
Immediately. So,
yeah,
it is insane. I saw a clip, Lewis Riddick. I didn't see it live, but I saw it on Twitter. They did. It was right before the last pick, right before Mr. Irrelevant, Jared Patel, got picked. Lewis Riddick, it was like a 6-minute clip.
It is impressive.
Yeah, he thanked everyone and said, you know, thanks to everyone behind the scenes and listed, you know, all the people. Everybody. It was really, really cool to see that because, you know, a lot of times the behind the scenes people don't get the love they deserve, but that was really cool to see. But yeah, so all together, I mean, before even getting into the actual draft, sitting there watching it in Detroit, all the love Detroit was getting, how cool it looked, all the buildings, the city, like you said, just they were using the city for their broadcast, you know, all the really cool buildings. Speaking of architecture, Detroit definitely has it.
Yeah, they have some.
It was top notch. I mean, and I saw people saying like, how can the NFL not want to go back there? And five, seven, 8 years or something. I mean, what it just was, that was probably the best NFL draft ever. and that's not being biased as Lions fans.
No, it was.
Yeah, even where they put it and how, you know, they had it with the buildings kind of, you know, tucked in behind where everything was going on. I mean, it just looked great from up top on the drone view. It was awesome.
Now, the mural.
Yeah.
It was just incredible for sure. And you know, Detroit's getting all the kudos, which is well-deserved. It's been a long time coming, but you also got to say Michigan. I mean, Michigan showed up, you know, the sports fans in this state, second to none, I think. I mean, obviously biased, but it's just great to see, and let's hope the Lions can keep that momentum going. Now, have you heard anything at all, Jared, negative at all? Was there anything negative?
No, I haven't. And that's what's awesome. And I mean, we are in such a positive like role right now with the Detroit Lions and the NFL in general. Here's what I just and said, I don't know why I thought about this comment. Apparently I just think about this podcast all day. you made the comment like, hey, I hope you boo Roger Goodell. Listen, Roger Goodell is not a perfect commissioner, but I think he's done a goddamn good job.
Right.
The way the NFL has exploded in the last 15 years, again, not perfect. We don't have to dissect every decision he's made, but the way he's embraced these smaller towns like Detroit, think about how the NBA like basically spits on towns like Detroit.
Right.
The way they've embraced it, they're going to Green Bay next year for the draft. Like, I just feel like the NFL has done everything right the last 3-4 years.
Right.
And I become such a big NFL fan. Well, more so it's like we're you know, NBA playoffs are going on right now. I like can't get into it, man. It's like the NBA, like they're talking about doing the All-Star weekend. Oh yeah. We finally like, yeah, we saw the NFL came for the NFL draft. Let's do All-Star weekend in Detroit. It's like, dude, I almost don't even want them to come. It's like, you know, the players are going to bitch about it. The weather's going to be shitty. Like I just almost don't even want the NBA All-Star weekend to come. It's like, dude, you guys had your chance. The NFL, who's a bigger entity than you guys, said, we're going to come and we're going to put Detroit in the spotlight. So I just think Goodell, he had a great interview with Pat McAfee for like 30 minutes. I watched the whole thing. I think he's a smart dude. Again, he gets a bad rap, gets booed. I still appreciate the booze. Smartly brought Eminem out with him.
Yep. So
he didn't get booed.
Right.
I think Goodell deserves a gold star for this weekend. I really do.
Yeah, let me just backtrack just a little bit. It was kind of a throwaway line. I am not a Goodell hater. I just threw out the comment because they always boo him. What was sweet to see, though, every time one of the teams in the Central Division came up on the board, they got booed big time. Right. That was classic.
The classic thing is that you still call it the Central Division.
Oh, yeah, right.
The NFC North.
Wait, I figured he just got the Tigers mixed up. Did it used to be called the Central Division? Yeah. That's classic.
Yeah, right, a long time ago. I screwed that up too.
Back when the Buccaneers were still in the Central.
That's right.
NFC North. Now, one negative, I heard some people saying the negative. You asked about negatives.
Yeah.
I had a handful of friends that were down there for the whole weekend and stuff too. But it's not a negative at all. Uber prices. Uber prices, right? You know, they do the surge pricing and stuff like that and like hotel prices, but it's like, but that, you know, they were like saying if there was a negative, that's what it was. So that's basically saying, no, there's no negative. I mean, that's to be expected.
I actually had a funny, quick little funny story about that. So when I did leave at like whatever 5:30, my group of the buddies that were there, they stayed. I was a lone wolf that left. So I was on the other side of like Comerica Park on Woodward where all these food trucks and vendors were at. I had to run to the other side of Little Caesars Arena to get picked up. Basically, it's like there was no way to get picked up. I had to like run a mile. And the guy still like had a hard time like picking me up. So I can imagine like 2 a.m. or whatever when everybody was really leaving the draft after the Lions picked, could have been freaking chaos.
How much was your Uber ride home?
That was at 5. So think about that. That was at 5:30, and that's like a 20-minute drive. It's like $60.
60.
Right. So that he probably got 150, I bet.
Much better than trying to drive down there yourself and try and navigate that. No, you just take an Uber, and that way also you don't have to deal with not having a couple of adult beverages. You know, you can just have a good time and then just Uber home. You know, that's the way to do
it. I kind of wish I was in a little bit better, more of like a drinking mood. The amount of characters down there, it's like people come like, it's just like weird. Like you guys are these Philadelphia Eagles fans. It's funny. Like these guys I would run into throughout the day. All of a sudden I'm watching the telecast at home. It's like, oh, I saw that guy, that Eagles guy with the mohawk that's green and the shoulder pads and the jersey. I talked to that guy in the pants on. Like, people were just coming from all across the country to watch an NFL draft.
Right.
Like, it was like a boring version of a concert. It's like, it just, the NFL just has the weirdest fans, but the best fans. Like, I don't care what the Eagles are doing, I'm going to be there for it. Like, that's what these people are like. They're all over the place.
This kind of ties into my whole Super Bowl experience, you know, being in the Super Bowl city of Vegas for 3 days with all these NFL fans there. Most of them, though, were for the two teams, but still, everybody was in a good mood. Nobody was causing any issues. And it sounds like that's what happened here, too. And by the way, fellas, just a quick news flash. I am booking my room in New Orleans tomorrow.
Sorry, well, you got to pull this number last year, but you didn't even, but so are you just going to follow the Super Bowl every year now as long as the Lions are
Heck yeah, while they're in contention. I went this year and they almost made it. What if I didn't go next year and they do make it?
And you may as well book it now before prices get absolutely outrageous.
That's exactly the strategy, because I checked on some prices and they're well within range. So I'm booking tomorrow. You can always cancel, right?
Might as well do it. Yeah, just make sure to get that travel insurance or whatever so you can get your credit back.
But well, I don't think, here's the deal. I don't think I'm gonna fly. I think I'll drive down to New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal.
Make a little road trip out of it. Yeah. I think the big thing, not to change topic from that, I think it's a hell of a strategy for you. Just start booking every Super Bowl. Absolutely. Look 5 years out. 5 years out. Just book them all right now.
Right.
And just get it done. Because one of these years, the Lions are going to do it. One of these years. I was just thinking about when Jared's talking about the fans and the NFL doing it right and Goodell. Yeah. I think a big thing, because you guys know I'm a big NBA fan. The NBA is such a players. It's all about the players.
Yep.
The NBA, I mean, yeah, there's fans. You know, people love the fans or whatever. But, you know, like you guys describing the Super Bowl, the NFL draft. I mean, NBA fans just aren't really like that. You know, they'll follow their teams, the diehards, but most people aren't going to drive across the country for the All-Star game, like you said, or definitely the NBA draft. You know, it's just all about the players. That's why right now the NBA playoffs, it's tough for maybe the casual fans to get into, because Steph's out, LeBron's about to be knocked out, Durant just got swept. You know, the usual stars that we're used to, they're on their way out, and it's all mostly now the younger guys that maybe you don't know much about. And it, you know, it's not the people don't follow like their teams as much. Like you've even talked about, Jared, being like people follow like guys they like. You become a LeBron fan, so you're going to follow whatever team he's on. You people that, you know, Steph's been on the Warriors his whole career, so that's a little different. But like, say you're a James Harden fan, you're going to bounce from team to team, whichever team that he's on. And so that's what I just think the NBA is so different in that sense than the NFL. And the NFL just, I think they know that. It's all about the fans. That's why they've made the NFL draft a fan event. That's why the Super Bowl is a fan event. They have the 40-yard dashes. They have those fan experience things, the food trucks, because they know people are going to come from around the country, around the world. I mean, they were interviewing people from around the world that came to Detroit for the NFL draft. They have to do this stuff to make the fans have a great weekend. Like one of my buddies' dads was there with, like, I think his brother. And so he was sending pictures and stuff the whole time. And they went in, they were two rows from the stage. They went all out. They said, this is, you know, who knows if the draft is ever going to be back in Detroit. Let's go all out. They were two rows from the stage. So he's sending pictures each day of the draft on their chair. They got a huge swag bag. Barry Sanders autographed football, NFL draft backpacks stuffed with hats and shirts and all this other kind of stuff. Each day they got this stuff.
Yep.
Saturday morning before the draft, they went to this like private event where Calvin Johnson spoke. Barry Sanders was there. It was like drinks, cocktail hour type of thing. There was like just a bunch of other events like that they were able to go to. And it's just, that's one of those things where it's like, if you're going to put your city on display, especially, you know, Lions, let's let people get to know the Lions. Yeah. Barry Sanders is all over the place. Billy Sims was even around. Calvin Johnson, you know, all these legends. Yep. And then, you know, the intro, Hutch comes out. Amon-Ra St. Brown comes out, you know, they're, you know, coming out for the draft. And then even at the beginning of the second day, they honor Michigan football winning the national championship. And it's just like, they just did it all right for the fans. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Michigan State fans didn't like that or whatever, but you know, it's like the NFL, whether it's, like I said, whether it's ESPN, whether it's NFL Network, you know, whatever, they get it. They know how to do this kind of stuff. They know how to do it. And whether you're there in person or watching on TV, You feel the energy, you know, you're into it. I mean, for a draft, just to have like guys' names be called, like you're locked in for that. It's just, it's crazy.
You're exactly right. It's like the NBA, Adam Silver is more concerned about making the players happy. Goodell is what makes the fans happy. It's a big difference. Like Christmas Day, we're playing football on Christmas Day now. It's like, hey, we're going to figure out the schedule, but people want to watch football on Christmas Day. So that's what we're going to do. It's like almost you're spot on. It's like, man, it's like they in the NBA, it's like Silver has his like balls in a jar. It's like, what is going on? The players are calling all the shots. It's like they don't celebrate the small towns like the NFL does, which I think maybe is what I was trying to say earlier. Like the Green Bay's, the Detroit's, they celebrate us. The NBA, it's like they would like, I think if they had it their way, they'd kiss the Pistons goodbye.
Right.
Well, here's a perfect example. The NBA draft, just look at that. It's a lottery thing for crying out loud. It's not the worst team gets the top pick. You know, the NFL likes the parity where everybody has a chance. And again, back to Goodell and what the NFL owners are all looking at, you can book it. They're going to have a 3-day weekend now coming up for Super Bowl weekend. They're going to expand the schedule a little bit, have it President's Day weekend. Yep. And everybody that has President's Day off is going to have the day after the Super Bowl off. It's going to happen.
And when that does happen, it's going to be like, why wasn't it always like this?
I know.
It should have always been like this. It should have always been like this. I do remember hearing someone, because President's Day weekend, so this is going to maybe the rivalry between the NBA and NFL, even NASCAR.
Right.
President's Day weekend is always NBA All-Star weekend. And then even President's Day weekend is always the Daytona 500.
They should just take it over. I'm
right. That's weird. And like, that's what I mean. It might happen because everyone always says that, like, man, I would go to Vegas. I would go to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I got to work the next day, or, you know, there's no way I can get work off. You know, if you do it on a holiday weekend, then turn it into a 3-day event, have Saturday be a whole fan experience, a bunch of, you know, former players, like you said, all the trophies and rings, you know, you could make it a weekend thing and people would do that. People would go for a weekend Super Bowl experience for sure.
Hell yes.
Especially if it was, you know, Nashville, Miami, Vegas, New Orleans. You know, the one thing about Detroit with the Super Bowl is we know weather in February is fairly iffy in Michigan. That's one thing, but
I'm not clamoring for that Super Bowl in Detroit. It's like the draft, like, dude, the draft is kind of because it was free. Why all these people want, it's like, it's awesome, dude. It's like, show up, stay for an hour, stay for 12 hours, go out all 3 days, go one day. I'm not clamoring for the Super Bowl. It'd be cool, but again, I just think it's like, it's not Detroit in the summertime is a lot different than Detroit in the winter.
For sure.
And the Super Bowl is so exclusive, like, to who could even go. It's like not even really Detroit people able to go. So it's like I'm not dying for that.
Yeah.
What did you guys make of the actual draft picks? I'll just roll through a few of them right off the top.
Yeah.
So obviously they took Terrion Arnold with the 24th pick overall. The defensive back out of Bama, Ennis Rakestraw Jr., defensive back out of Missouri, round two. Those are kind of the two headliners. What did you guys make of the Lions draft as a whole?
I mean, my first reaction to those being the first two picks, clearly Brad Holmes and us as fans, we watched it. They saw the end of the year where that defensive backfield was atrocious. I mean, any receiver with a lick of talent was putting up 200 yards. Let alone if it was Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb or, you know, some of the top receivers in the league were just absolutely torching the Lions. Also, Gardner Johnson is officially gone, who was their big pickup last year. Cam Sutton also, legal troubles, he's gone. So they had to draft some corners. And they got Terrion Arnold is what quite possibly the best corner in the draft. And he's just an absolute stud at Alabama. Not a bad strategy either that Brad Holmes has grabbed onto. Hey, let's just draft Alabama guys because Nick Saban has these dudes pro ready. I mean, we saw Brian Branch step right in. Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, he came on. You know, Jameson Williams has looked like he's coming on, and there's others. So I don't mind it. And the kid out of Missouri, not that I'm like some expert on him or whatever, but having, you know, worked and covered a couple of his games and the show that we do down here. He was talked about all football season last year as like a sleeper NFL draft type of guy. Like, man, this dude, he plays on Missouri, so they're not very good. But this dude is going to be a stud in the pros. He ends up on the Lions. So not bad at all with those first two picks.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with the first two picks. You know, they need help in that secondary. They were pretty much solid everywhere else. So, you know, shore that up. They'll be battling for playing time without a doubt. The rest of it, you know, I'd give them probably a solid B+, you know, for whatever I know. You know, right. they drafted this unknown guy from Canada as an offensive tackle, but he's huge,
yep.
You know, and he can play behind some guys that know what they're doing. And then this Wingo from LSU, I mean,
he's a beast.
A lot of people were surprised he dropped that far.
Yeah, just another really good defensive lineman, like SEC defensive lineman. He's going to come in, and, you know, whether it pans out or not, no one knows. He might be out of the league in a year. You know, you never know. But the potential is there. And like you said, there weren't really many holes, secondary probably one, on the roster. And that's why you can pick. The offensive line is pretty set, so that's why you can pick a project, because you know he's not expected to start day one. All right, come in. Let Sewell, let Taylor Decker teach you how to be a pro, and maybe in 2 or 3 years, you're going to be ready to go. So, and like we said before, we posted the video. We said it last week. Got to trust Brad Holmes. He's got a pretty good track record so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, you're an asshole if you argue what he does. I'm going to do that a little bit. I mean, corners are so hard to plug and play. I don't know. Maybe I'm like being the, you know, devil's advocate, but it's like just relying on two rookie corners. I mean, I think we're maybe all a little bit warped from Sauce Gardner, how he just walked into the league and was shut down. I don't think that's normally how it goes. I mean, it's such a big jump.
We saw Jeff Okuda. Jeff Okuda came
exactly.
in.
Exactly. It's like, that's number one corner off the board. That's number three overall pick, and it was a bust. It's hard. That's the draft as a whole, but I don't know. Last year, everybody, it seemed like it was almost like the scapegoat was Cam Sutton and the defensive backs. I know they were not good, obviously.
He was horrible.
He was.
Also, they had no pass rush. And I don't think we addressed that. I know the Wingo guy, I mean, we're counting on a round six guy to come in and turn us around in the pass rush department.
Right.
Again, we're poking holes through a guy who has dominated the draft year in and year out. Right. He's on a little bit of a heat check right now, is how I would describe it. So we'll see. Again, he's probably going to nail these picks. But I look at it as like, we didn't necessarily address the pass rusher problem, which I thought was the biggest problem, more than defensive backs.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, you know, he didn't pick a defensive back with a number three pick. He picked 24, so, you know, it wasn't that much of a reach, I don't think, but yeah, we'll see.
I like the picks. Again, you can't go wrong drafting SEC players,
right?
Especially Nick Saban. The one thing that I thought Todd McShay pointed out that I thought was interesting, he said when you listen to how Nick Saban talked about Kool-Aid McKinstry and Terrion Arnold, seemed like he liked Kool-Aid McKinstry a little more.
Did he?
Would make me think a little bit worried. I mean, Nick Saban knows defensive backs, and damn, he knows the players that went through Alabama. That makes me a little worrisome. But like Terrion Arnold, all the interviews I've seen, his presence on the stage, what he's drafted, like how he's addressing the crowd. It's like, I'm going to root for this guy. I like him.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Breakstraw, the story on him is basically he's undersized, but kind of plays with a little bit of an edge.
Chip.
Yeah. Sounds like a guy made for Dan Campbell. So. Yeah. And then last thing, I just on this, so the guy you were talking about, Ted, the guy they took in the fourth round, Giovanni Manu, offensive tackle, University of British Columbia, 6'7", 352 pounds, literally looks like he's made of muscle. Like, you know, I saw like some of his, like, I don't know if it's like his pro day or whatever you want to call it. Literally looked like they recorded it in like a parking garage. So I don't know what he's going to be, but I like that we have him. So I'll be excited to see how they turn out. Two other quick real thoughts on the draft. I wish we could have got Mike Sanders still.
That was
kind of the big bummer. I thought maybe somehow, some way he would align and come to us. I remember making the comment to like a coworker, like probably at the start of the Michigan's football season, like, man, what's like Sanders still's draft rating? Is he like a second rounder, first rounder? It's like, dude, I don't think he's going to get drafted. So it's kind of nice seeing that vindicated. Like, dude, no, we saw this guy. He's a stud. Yeah. Like, everybody's going to go. Sure enough, he like was the number one guy, but he really flew up the draft boards.
Well, Saban said he's his best player pound for pound.
Cooper DeJean. That was my other two guys I would have liked to have seen in the Lions colors, but in Brad Holmes, we trust.
Yeah, DeJean would have been cool. Sanders still would have been. I think he's going to be a great pro, whether he plays nickel, corner, slot, you know, whatever they do, he's going to do well. I was trying to look up when you were saying that. Lions did sign Marcus Davenport. He's a defensive end. He's an edge. He was with the Vikings last year.
right?
He only played four games, so he was hurt. But before that, he's been really good throughout his career. So they did address edge
with
a free agent signing. But, right, you can always use depth. You can always, you know, draft someone in the third, fourth, fifth round, you know, because as we know, Hutchinson needs a little help there on the defensive line. So hopefully they've addressed that with free agent signings. And then, yeah, the couple draft picks that they did. Hopefully, you know, Holmes knows what he's doing. The Terrion Arnold thing, you know, one thing I think Kool-Aid, like, you know, reading all the draft boards and the experts or whatever, Kool-Aid probably graded as like the better athlete pro type of thing. Arnold is right there for sure. But you have to think that Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, they're drafting dudes to fit the locker room, to fit the Lions culture, to fit what they're doing. And Terrion Arnold, every interview that you see with him, if you don't watch an interview with him and see his story and like just say, yep, like you said, Jared, I'm rooting for this guy. I think he's going to step right into that locker room and dudes are just going to love him. I mean, he's going to step right in and he's going to be one of the guys from day one. And that's probably a big part with this team. This team's ready to win. So now they just need a couple added pieces to take him over the top.
Yeah. How fun is the number one bite I kept seeing from Terrion Arnold, he told a story how like his turning point in football. Maybe you saw this, Matt. Basically, he said something like it was a Tennessee game, I think, last year where he got benched, and he basically said like I had to figure out like what I'm gonna be like as a corner. Like I need to go back to the drawing board, rework things. Got benched, ended up being like way, way better like come his senior year. So I think that was a good little tidbit. All right, Matt, I'm gonna ask you this one. JJ McCarthy ends up basically in a dream scenario, I think. Yeah. Of all the rookie quarterbacks, other than maybe Caleb Williams, all in the same division. It's going to be awesome, awesome division next year. Can't wait to watch it. Mm-hmm. But what are we basically like, who, okay, let me phrase it this way. Of all the quarterbacks drafted, who do you guys think, if you had to put your stamp on one guy that's going to be, you know, a star in this league or is going to make it, who would you put your stamp on?
Honestly,
go ahead.
It's hard for me not to say, if you're saying a star in this league versus like have the longest career, you know, just being a good NFL quarterback, longest career, it's hard for me not to say McCarthy because of where he was drafted. I think he was drafted in a much better situation than even the Bears. Caleb Williams in the Bears, I mean, they keep drafting quarterback after quarterback, and, you know, they never have success with quarterbacks. I mean, Jay Cutler is the best quarterback in that franchise's history, and that's not really saying much.
Hold on. Cutler is? Jim McMahon. Jim McMahon.
I mean, he was there for like, what, a year or two?
You got to say Jim McMahon.
He's got the one Super Bowl. So, okay, put him up there.
Cutler, man.
Cutler. I mean, Cutler. That's definitely an argument to have. Maybe the long, because what, McMahon only played with the Bears for a couple years,
three or 4 years, and even Harbaugh was there too. He's better than Cutler.
But as far as numbers goes, Cutler has the best numbers of any.
All right, Bears, I'll give you that stat guy.
Yeah, but obviously the game has changed. So all right, we'll give McMahon and his Super Bowl shuffle. We'll let him have that honor. But the Bears, I mean, what I'm trying to say, I guess, is the Bears keep drafting guys and they keep rotating in head coaches and they keep getting it wrong. So I don't know if Caleb Williams is going to work out there. Who knows? I mean, they've got the skill players. And he should have some success, but it hasn't gone well recently. McCarthy doesn't have to step in and be the quarterback from day one. And O'Connell, their head coach, is an offensive-minded guy. They play indoors in that stadium up there in Minnesota. I just think he's got the right mindset, too. He was coached by Jim Harbaugh for 3 years at Michigan. He comes in knowing the pro-style offense. I'll be very curious to see him. I'm happy he went to Minnesota, but I'm also not happy because we potentially have to see him twice a year for the next however long he's.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like honestly, and you're because I mean, we're all big Michigan fans and all want to see JJ succeed. I'd say you more than you're a big JJ guy, but I mean, it's kind of like a lose-lose in your book. If he's good, then it's going to be a thorn in the Lions' side for the next 10 years. If he sucks, it's like, man, he sucks. It's kind of a funny little predicament.
That's the thing, though. I would be shocked if he is an absolute bust. You know, like I think at minimum he's going to be a solid NFL quarterback. Is he going to be the next Tom Brady? I don't know. Maybe not. But is he going to in 2 years be out of the league? I'd be surprised if it's that bad.
he's like a lot of quarterbacks. So you got to have the building blocks around him. Right? Right. I mean, even Jared Goff, you know, some of us are more fans of him than others, but look at that offensive line he has and that right. offense that they run. You know, a lot of things go into a factor for a quarterback being successful. And I think JJ has the physical talent and he seems to have the mental talent and he comes from a good system when he played for Harbaugh at Michigan. So it's all there. It's all there for him to succeed. I'm certainly not rooting for him though. I mean, there's no right. way in hell. And I do think though that the quarterback, my personal opinion out of this draft is Daniels. I think he has the higher upside than any of the other ones. Just me looking at it and watching him play at two different schools. He has all the tools to be, you know, today's modern day quarterback in the NFL.
Right. I actually, you know, the like kind of scapegoat of the draft was the Atlanta Falcons with what they did.
Right.
I don't what they did was smart. Like I know I sound stupid saying that. Like maybe it comes across they didn't have a plan. To me, it's kind of just effed up. They basically just bamboozled Kirk Cousins. I'm not saying it was like cool what they did, but I think it's smart. It's like, hey, if Kirk Cousins is gonna be good, then great. Kirk Cousins is going to be great. We could either trade Penix or we could trade Kirk Cousins after a great year. If Kirk Cousins sucks, we got Penix waiting in the wings. If it just, to me, it made sense. Like, why not go get this free agent and Kirk Cousins, sign him, and now we can do whatever we want with him. We can still go get a quarterback. I thought that people were over-exaggerating a little bit to how bad the Falcons, quote-unquote, messed up. I mean, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I've been on here saying, like, if you don't have a quarterback, to me, I've always said, like, just keep drafting quarterbacks till you get a quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, nothing matters. What did you guys think? Do you guys think it was really
well? It's kind of funny you bring that up because last week you dogged on the fact when I threw out there JJ possibly to the Lions. He's all backup quarterback strategy. It's the same damn thing. He's going to be a backup quarterback to Cousins. It's the same exact thing. And you think about it. Go ahead, Matt. I was going to say,
and remember, you and I both were whenever this was 3 years ago or whatever, talking about. Drafting when they still had Stafford, the Lions drafting Tua because we were like, hey, you got your quarterback, but you need a backup plan. So, right. Maybe that's what the Falcons were thinking. Yes, we signed Cousins, but we need a backup plan. I just kind of to Ted's point, like with whatever quarterback you draft, you got to have the supporting cast. That pick by the Falcons could have really been used on someone that would help Kirk Cousins, whether it was a lineman, whether it was a receiver or something, but
well, it wouldn't have been
a strange pick.
It was strange when you think about it. You know, when I was talking last week about, you know, backing up Rodgers in the Jets, okay, for example, you know, he's only going to be around a year or two at the most. Right. Okay. The Falcons, they just signed Cousins to a mega contract. Yep. And then they drafted a quarterback.
Here's the difference in that scenario. And even to Jared Goff and the Lions. Jared Goff and the Lions can win a Super Bowl. The piece that they can add is to potentially win a Super Bowl. The Falcons are 7-9. Kirk Cousins, even in his best year with the Vikings that year, they had like a, what were they like plus 10 points, but they somehow were like 12-5 or whatever they were. Lose round one to Daniel Jones and the Giants. Daniel Jones isn't even a starting quarterback, arguably, this year. They almost drafted JJ. It's Kirk Cousins, for God's sakes. It's not Aaron Rodgers. You don't do that to Aaron Rodgers. They did do it to Aaron Rodgers, and he won back-to-back MVPs.
Then the Falcons probably shouldn't have given Cousins $100 million guaranteed. Then, if he's just Kirk Cousins.
There are some you can definitely pick apart what they did. I just to me it made more sense to me than I think we're giving them credit for. Dan Orlovsky's honestly the only one I've seen really have that opinion. So that's when you know you're. And I like Dan Orlovsky, but when the entire NFL world there's only one guy who comes out in defense of it, you kind of realize you're an idiot.
Yeah, this is just my personal opinion. I've seen it out there before. I think he was told to say that.
He said he was not told to say that.
Okay.
Again, I don't think it's
whatever you want to believe.
I really don't think it's that. Now, is there like the only way I don't think it pays off? Like, is it both of them suck? I don't think that's the case.
Right.
Give Penix a year, wait in the wings, trade off Kirk Cousins after hopefully a great year where they make the playoffs. It makes sense to me.
Okay.
We'll see. Time will tell. As everything is. But.
Yep.
Maybe it was cool too to see all the Michigan players get drafted. They didn't end up breaking that record of most draft picks. Still had 13 guys. It's pretty good. Had what, four or five others get signed by teams as undrafted free agents. Yeah. So it's just cool to see, you know, Blake Corum and Harbaugh, even counting because I think he signed one or two guys undrafted. Harbaugh ended up with like three or four Michigan players with the Chargers. So.
You would think they have a good chance. You would think if he's signing them, like they have a good chance of making the team.
Right.
And how do you not love Corum going to the Rams?
Yeah.
Kind of seems like a perfect situation for him. I know Kyron Williams is the running back there right now, but I think we all love Corum and I'll root for him. It'll be fun to see him with Stafford.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Corum will do real well in the NFL, especially in a two back system. You know, I mean, he's the real deal for sure.
Yeah. I mean, anymore, no one really has a number one. Everyone has two backs for the most part, you know. Yep. So him being that rookie behind, like you said, Jared, I mean, that's, could be a lethal offense.
Have you guys, has the reality really set in like it has with me when I see Harbaugh, you know, in the draft room and he's singing the Wolverine fight song, and then we have that realization knowing that he will not be coaching Michigan anymore. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, it's depressing, isn't it?
It is. I think maybe I've tweeted a couple times. I've definitely said to some friends, and this isn't a shot at Sherrone Moore or any of the guys on the team right now. It's more a credit to the 3-year run that we just saw with Michigan. I don't think we're ever going to see that again with how the transfer portal is. Just, you know, the group of head coaches or assistants also that Harbaugh had was a great group of coaches. You know, think about Mike McDonald, now a head coach, Jesse Minter in the NFL now. I mean, like the 3-year run, like think about the guys that could have left. McCarthy could have hit the transfer portal, you know, after he wasn't the starter, after Cade McNamara. Donovan Edwards could have left. Who knows? Blake Corum, like all these people, Roman Wilson, Cornelius Johnson, two guys that are in the NFL now, not really getting thrown the ball a ton at Michigan. They could have hit the transfer portal. They all stuck it out, and all the linemen that are now in the NFL. Like, I don't know, honestly, if, and it's not being like cynical, I don't know if we're ever going to see a team or like a run like what we just saw with Michigan, because today's college football is just so different with NIL and transfer portal. I mean, we're already seeing guys after the spring game for Michigan, like 4, 5, 6 guys have hit the transfer portal. So it's just,
it's a joke.
It's not the same.
Yeah, we never got burned by the portal. Exactly what you said. We never got burned by it. Now we are starting to. It sucks, man. The thing with Harbaugh and what you guys got to remind is like, he went out on top. It was perfect. Like you always remember it for how awesome it was.
That's true.
In the 9 years? The 9-year battle we really were on to get to that mountaintop. I still haven't come off of it yet. And it's funny. It's like, it's still, this Michigan football team's getting honored like left and right. You're talking about the NFL drafts. Like, it's going to be a bummer not seeing him on the sidelines come week one of college football next year, but also, it's kind of nice knowing that it never can be tarnished, what he did.
Right. He did go out on top, and, you know, Matt, to even go further than what you were just talking about, this might have been the greatest football season ever, with add in the draft now. We'll count that as part of the season. It's been unbelievable. So there's nowhere to go but down. If you go higher than that, man, we're living good. Pop the champagne. All right. Anything else on the draft we want to get into, or we want to keep moving on? I know we're it's going to be a long one, it looks like.
Well, yeah, just, I mean, they do it right. The NFL draft, they do it right.
Absolutely. And Lions signed Michigan's kicker as a free agent. Yeah. So they got some competition they can have now, you know, because that part does worry me a little bit, you know.
I am curious. So there, I don't know, we don't talk about the USFL very much on here.
Right.
But the Michigan Panthers, I don't know if you guys have seen, have a kicker that hits like 70-yard bombs. And people have been like, dude, why aren't the Lions bringing him in? I'll be curious if something comes of that.
Why not? Try him out.
Absolutely. Let's get it going. All right. Let's take another short break, and we'll be back with this week's edition of Cheddartainment Tonight.
The Memorial Healthcare Wellness Center is another great addition to the Owosso community. Start your wellness journey today by signing up for a 2024 membership. Get 15% off a yearly membership and 15% off your enrollment fee for new members. Membership gets you full use of the workout equipment, fitness classes like Pilates, yoga, spin, and many others. Relax in the steam room or sauna after your workout. Run, jog, or walk around the third floor Skytrack. Enjoy the spa-like locker rooms with sparkling clean private showers and other amenities. For more details, go online at memorialhealthcare.org or call 989-720-CARE.
Corey Shook & Associates Real Estate Services is the official and exclusive realtor and broker for 3 Point Podcast. Corey and her team have been providing personal, exemplary service in real estate sales since 2004. Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services are total professionals helping you sell your current house or buying your dream home. Stop in at 216 West Exchange Street in Owosso, get info online at CoreyShook.com, and follow on Facebook at Corey Shook Realtor for more details. If you are looking for honesty, ambition, and expertise, you're looking for Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services.
Are you ready to take your brand to the next level? Look no further. Introducing AZ Branding Solutions, where we help grow your brand from A to Z. At AZ, we're committed to helping businesses and organizations like yours reach new heights. Our full-service print and digital branding agency is your one-stop destination for all things branding. Need a stunning web or graphic design that captures your essence? We've got you covered. Want captivating social media content that engages your audience? Done. And that's not all. We're experts in video production and photography, ensuring your brand tells a compelling visual story. Plus, we specialize in screen printing and embroidery, turning your brand into wearable art that speaks volumes. Whether you're a startup or an established business, AZ is here to transform your brand dreams into reality. Ready to grow with us? Partner with AZ today and experience the difference. Visit our website at www.az.co or give us a call at 1-844-360-AZEE. AZ Branding Solutions, where your success begins.
All right, guys, I'll jump right into a couple things here on my end. Tomorrow night, we're recording this on Monday evening, Tuesday evening, April 30th, a Corona girl, Marie Eastman Kioski, class of 1988, is going to be on Wheel of Fortune. So check your local listings for tomorrow night, Wheel of Fortune, a Corona girl going to be on there. How about that?
That's cool.
Yeah. You guys know, we talk about stand-up comedians, you know, comic specials.
Yep.
Do you guys follow a guy called Rory Scovel? Have you heard of him? Well, I was seeing some press on him that he's like one of the funniest guys out there right now. I saw him on like a 60 Minutes or Sunday morning, CBS Sunday morning, and watched his latest special on Netflix, or actually it was on Max. It wasn't for me. It just didn't catch me at all. You know, I didn't see it. Way too many F-bombs. And I am not that conservative of guy, but I think comedians that rely on that all the time, it's just too much. So
Rory, it can be distracting. We've talked about that with comedians. It can be distracting if it's every other word or, you know, whatever. And yeah, I mean, that's how comedy is. If it's not your style, you're not going to like it. So
Right. So I'm out on that. Maybe 1.5. I did see finally Chris Rock's Selective Outrage. I don't know if you guys saw that one at all.
I've seen this a couple of clips.
He talks about the Will Smith incident at the end, but Chris Rock. What's that? You missed it?
No, how is that?
The stand-up was great. It was really, really good. Chris Rock's top two or three comics out there, maybe all time. I mean, he's fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah.
So when he talks about, not the spoiler alert, but when he talks about the Will Smith thing, does he make a joke of it? Is that part of his stand-up, or does he just address it?
He jokes a little bit about it, but he gets right into it, man. He lays into the fact that, you know, he took it like a man, like his parents taught him how, you know, so but he did say, man, I mean, Will Smith's like 6'5", you know, and here's Chris Rock, 5'6" or 5'7", and just punches him out. But, you know, Rock got right into it. He got all over Will Smith's wife, you know, the whole cheating on Will and all that stuff.
I'm sorry, like Will Smith. I love Will Smith.
Yeah.
I have never understood the infatuation with like his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. Right. I despise her. Yeah. She's made Will Smith unlikable. How's that even possible?
Right.
How is that even possible? I don't know. Matt, what is it? Is that like your generation? What is the deal with her? Like she's apparently dated Tupac or something. I've never
understood. She went to school with Tupac, right?
I mean, there for a while, she was a pretty big actress, you know, that not as big as what Will Smith was. I mean, I feel like Will Smith kind of made her even bigger than what she was.
Yeah,
it sure seems like that's as toxic of a relationship as there can be when it comes to celebrity relationships. Because like you said, I mean, we don't need to get into it all, but she seems to be dragging him down with a lot of stuff. And then, the whole Chris Rock situation.
Every step of the way, too. That's like the worst part. It's like every interview she does, she's like throwing salt on the wounds. It's like, what? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's a topic for another TED Entertainment, but for the love of God, I'm Jada Pinkett Smith out.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, Chris Rock, the special was really good. And I got one other thing. I'm two episodes into a four episode series. Thank You, Good Night, the John Bon Jovi story. I don't know if you saw that. It's on Hulu. Watch the first two episodes. You know, this is more kind of from my generation.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi was big in the 80s and 90s. Really well done, the first two episodes. I mean, good documentary. I'd recommend it if you're a rock and roll fan. And I always like these rock and roll docs that kind of tells you the climb, you know, how they began. Right. I mean, Bon Jovi was on stage in New Jersey, you know, they're the New Jersey band, and he was just starting out playing the clubs by the shore. Bruce Springsteen was following him. He came up on stage and sang a song with him when he was just starting out. Now, how cool would that be? That kind of fire you up to have a rock and roll career.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So that's what I got, boys.
I didn't bring it up. We mentioned it. I know this is now 3-4 weeks is when it came out and was really popular. The Nickelodeon Quiet on the Set.
Oh, yeah. I haven't got around to that yet. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those just makes you shake your head about the, you know, Hollywood, the whole how they treat the childhood stars and everything that went on with Nickelodeon. It's just one of those that's like, I don't understand how this stuff could be like swept under the rug for so long and how it was allowed back then. And you can see how it just messes some of these kids up and why their lives take go into a complete tailspin when they become adults. And it's just really a shame because, you know, especially, I mean, Ted, you remember my generation, you know, growing up, like it was Nickelodeon was like the coolest thing to watch. Yeah. Even Jared, when you were a kid, there were still a lot of really big shows on Nickelodeon. So, you know, it kind of makes you feel bad about watching some of those shows when you were growing up.
Like rewatching them, like a Drake and Josh or something. It's like you watch it with like, it's kind of creepy. I don't know how to, if creepy is not the right word, but yeah, just like it's just, you have a different lens.
You're looking for clues, right? You're trying to see where the cracks are. Yeah. It's, I mean, that's one of those topics, man, that pedophiles out there, I mean, they should be treated like murderers. They should be put away forever. That's just my opinion. It just ruins too many people's lives, you know, without a doubt.
It's crazy how often, you know, this stuff has really started to come out more and more, but it just makes you think like, man, if it was happening there, where else was this stuff going on that, you know, it's still being swept under the rug. It's just, it's really a shame.
I have one last quick one. This is kind of out of left field, but so they re-released the very first Spider-Man movies. In theaters last week, the Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire, James Franco, Kirsten Dunst, you know, Spider-Man movies.
Those were good.
I haven't really watched them since I was a kid. I love these freaking movies. I really do. The first one, I know Spider-Man 3, which I actually just watched like last night, is freaking horrible. That movie is horrible, but apparently there's a lot of rewrites. You know, Sam Raimi didn't really do the story he even wanted to do, didn't even want Venom in the movie. The producer, Sony, made him put him in there. So it's almost you got to throw that one to the side. The first one and two Spider-Man movies, they have a lot of heart, man. The music, the Danny Elfman soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on them. I love them. They're one, like, I got to play this one little snippet. Hopefully we don't get copyrighted. this soundtrack, like, this is when I think of Spider-Man and how much I used to love these movies when I was a kid. Like, this little five-second musical, like, number is everything that's right about the soundtrack. I don't think you heard it. Hold on. This might be bad. Like, just that one little part that they bring in the movie like three or four different times at perfect moments. That movie, a big part of it is like that was my movie when I was like 5-6 years old. I loved the original Spider-Man, watched it probably 100 times. I just think it's good flicks. I think they're worth a rewatch. I'd actually be curious what your review might be, Matt, as that's kind of was right in your wheelhouse when those dropped.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you guys know I've never been a big superhero fan. I do remember when that Spider-Man movie came out, that was like the biggest deal in the world. Spider-Man 1 and 2 were really good, especially even coming from a non-superhero comic book guy like myself. But then I do remember Spider-Man 3 was a train wreck. Everyone said that. Really, almost like ruined the trilogy. With
it really kind of did. I actually saw Spider-Man 3 opening night. That was like the first movie I remember being like gung-ho about. Like, I cannot wait to watch this. This is going to be so freaking awesome. I was like 7 years old, went opening night. First red flags, I remember walking in opening nights, like, there's nobody in the theater. It's like, where the hell is everybody? Dude, it was so fucking bad.
Yeah.
Even I knew that as like a 7-year-old. I knew it was bad.
Yeah.
So, what have you ever seen those, Ted? Or are those maybe one of the cracks in your Tedertainment?
No, I've watched both the first two. I can't remember if I saw the third one, but I did watch the first two. I thought they were very well done. Yeah, I liked it. I like Tobey Maguire anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, guys, let's take another short pause.
That was kind of like your comment, nice story last week.
Right.
You're reading between the lines too much, Jared.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back with the prep spotlight to wrap this up right after these messages.
Jacobs Insurance Agency has served Shiawassee County and the surrounding areas since 1977. Just like 3 Point Podcasts, we've had three generations, Gary Jacobs Sr., Gary Jacobs II, Brian Jacobs, and myself, Noah Jacobs, serving our community with offices in Waterford and Owosso on M21 just west of Home Depot. Stop in or go online to jacobsinsurance.com to get a quote or get your questions answered by our team. Jacobs Insurance is a proud supporter of our local schools and the proud sponsor of the Prep Spotlight. Insure everything, local, independent, and trusted. It's our family working together to protect yours. That's the Jacobs way.
All right, guys, I'm going to jump right into it. It's the Prep Spotlight presented by the Jacobs Insurance Agency. And a special shout out, forgot to mention this last couple of weeks, Noah Jacobs ran the Boston Marathon, finished under 3 hours at 2 hours, 41 minutes, finished 511th out of over 26,000 runners. You know, little shout out to our Noah Jacobs. How about that? That had to be quite an experience. I saw he and his dad went to Fenway Park the next day too. Got a bucket list thing off their table there. So that's very cool.
That is cool. I know he talked about it. We had him on the podcast, right? And he talked
when
about
he qualified.
Yeah. Yeah. He was starting to train and he had qualifying. And I saw one of his posts, I think on Facebook, he said he wasn't going to be walking right for weeks. I can't imagine how you would feel after under three hours running.
No kidding.
That. It's crazy.
That's amazing. Well, speaking of running, Corona track and field team, the boys, they ruled the 12 team Mason Bulldog Invitational for the second straight year. Tarek Bauer won the 100 meter. Wyatt Bauer took first in the 200. The twins went 1 and 2 in the long jump with Tarek taking the gold in that. Lucas Curran won the 400. Kenny Evans won the mile. And the Cavs also won the 4x100 relay. I got a feeling that we'll be talking Corona State Championship track and field team a little later this spring, guys. They look like they're loaded if they stay healthy.
I mean, won it last year, right?
Yeah, so, pretty much the entire cast back.
Right.
Yep. Well, you think they're the favorite, right?
Yeah, gotta be.
Surprising if they didn't win.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye now on, is anybody going to beat Tarek in the 100? You know, I mean, there's going to be some good competition when you get a little deeper and get the tournament going, but man, he's having a fantastic year. Also in baseball, Perry swept Saranac. Cole Sawyer went 3-for-4 with a double and 2 RBIs in game 1, and Joey McGraw-Allen went 3-for-3, scoring twice and drove in 2. You got anything else to add on Perry baseball, Matt?
Not anything outside of that. I know they've just been plugging along, actually having a pretty good season.
Yeah, absolutely. In softball, Langsburg swept Ovid Elsie to give coach Jeff Cheadle career win. Get this, number 909-01. Started his coaching career in 86 at Lansing Everett. 900 victories in softball. That's unreal. That's a lot of wins every season.
Right.
That's pretty impressive.
How many games are in these baseball and softball seasons, like regular season?
I just off the top of the head, I would say maybe 20, maybe 15 to 20.
Maybe I'm missing some, but I mean, we got a lot of apparently softball legends in the area.
Absolutely. In golf, Perry beat Fowler 182-202. Keegan Brown was the medalist, shooting a 42. Owosso beat Kersley by 14 as John Mazza shot a 39. How's your golf game going, Jared?
Well, I played a couple of times this year. So not well. was one of those events where you threw out was the Dick's Sporting Good invite.
Yeah.
That is played at Glenbriar. Yeah, that was the course and the round where I lost my ball in a tree. Literally could see it sitting up in the tree. This kid has had his parents like walking around with us. I remember it irritated me so much. They're like snapping pictures, like laughing at this ball sitting in the tree. Meanwhile, I got to take like an unplayable lie, like three stroke like penalty. So that's my one golf story for the week.
Glenbriar is a tough little course over there. I played a league there for a couple years, and it's challenging, man. Mm-hmm. There's some tough holes.
Course, yeah, a lot of my buddies hate that course. Honestly, like I play a lot better at Glenbriar compared to other people I play with. It's a thinking man's course, is what they call it. It's a lot of course strategy involved. Can't just grip the driver and rip it at that course.
Right. Finally, tennis. Ovid Elsie beat Chesaning 7-0, and Owosso beat Fenton 6-2. And in soccer, Ovid Elsie ruled the weekend at the Marauder Invitational, outscoring Fowlerville and Ionia 11-0 overall. That's it in the prep spotlight, fellas. Anything we need to get on the table here before we wrap up this podcast?
Nope, just moving towards those dog days, right? NFL draft is done, and spring football games are done. So,
yeah,
NBA playoffs, basically.
Yeah, we talked about the NBA, you know, and the playoffs are really when I start watching. So, I'm really enjoying, you know, my strategy on the late games, man. I DVR the second half, watch it in the morning with my coffee. Yep. I love it. You know,
there's going to be some good games too, even though, like I was saying, no LeBron, no Steph. I mean, the Nuggets are fun to watch. The Mavs are fun to watch.
Well, if the Lakers can win just one more game and they get it to game six, that series is interesting.
Yes,
you're right. Gotta win one more before I really like my ears perk up. But yeah, that could be interesting.
Well, the Celtics are closing out the Heat as we wrap up this podcast. They're going to be a pretty tough team to beat out in the East as well.
Yeah, they should be.
Yep. All right, guys, we did it. We got through another one. I want to thank the good folks at Memorial Healthcare's Wellness Center. Talk to a rep. Go online. See what discounts are available for memberships. Get yourself healthy. Get in shape. Details at memorialhealthcare.org. Also want to thank our other great partners, and they include AZ Branding Solutions, Jacobs Insurance Agency, Corey Shook and Associates Real Estate Services. By the way, I've got her husband, Josh, coming over here to do a little remodeling work at my house before the 4th of July. So I'm looking forward to that. Jared, you have to come out here. You and Matt, when you come out here for the Tune Cap, maybe you can see it then.
What's he doing?
I'm doubling the size of my patio door. So I'm going to have a wall of windows overlooking the lake.
Nice.
He's a wizard, man. I'm sure it'll look awesome.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And he came in real competitive as well. That's always important with me.
Yeah.
Also want to thank Nelson House Funeral Homes, Rivals Tap House and Grill, and Success Group Mortgage and Servicing. Also, if you're in the mood to watch some good country music, make a little road trip to Pittsburgh the weekend of May 9th. Chi-Town will be there, backed by popular demand, and at the Tequila Cowboy, great venue over there to play for people that love country. That'll do it. Peace and love, everybody. Be kind. Thanks for listening.
Hey gang, please consider a donation to the ALS Association Michigan chapter, serving people with ALS and their families since 1988. There still is no cure for Lou Gehrig's disease, and every 90 minutes, someone is diagnosed with ALS. For more details, go online at webmi.alsa.org.
3 Point Podcast is a Sportsnet Michigan 3 Point Podcast production. Subscribe and share on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or any of your favorite podcast hosting sites. Comments and questions can be sent via social media at 3 Point Pod or by email to 3pointpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.